This is VK6ARN, News West. We are a community organisation and we've been serving up the best amateur radio news in Australia since 1931. Hi there, I'm Clinton, VK6FCRC, and welcome to News West. Now on with the show.
Members of the Shavers Net are greatly saddened to learn that Neil Basden, VK6ANB, a long-time staunch supporter of the net, passed away peacefully on the 23rd of October after a short illness. Neil was 92 years of age. The Shavers Net commenced in the early 1970s when Bernie Gates, VK6KJ, a television and radio serviceman from Albany, Western Australia, and very active amateur radio operator, led a group of light-minded amateurs for a brief on-air early morning natter each day, supposedly while shaving. Bernie became a silent key in 1992. Today we hold a daily early morning net open to all comers to honour his memory. We even have a member who lives in the USA in Florida. Neil joined the net in 1981 and was a regular and enthusiastic attendee almost up to the day he died. Despite having electrical noise and antenna difficulties with his location and later on acute hearing problems, Neil made constant efforts to improve his signal in order to stay in touch with us. His enthusiasm and determination were legendary. When relatively recently we added Zoom Vision to our radio net, Neil was quick to master this new technology and join in the extra fun that Vision brings. Neil was a devout Christian who would do his best to help others, and even in his latter years would drive considerable distances to keep in touch with friends and to attend his woodworking activities, where he excelled. All of us admired the way that Neil showed such tremendous spirit battling his many problems, a true Christian warrior who fought the good fight to the very end. We, and all his many other friends, shall miss him greatly. Vale, Neil, VK6, Alpha, November, Bravo. These words were compiled by Clive, VK6, CSW, and supplied to us by Richard, VK6BMW, and Neil will be sadly missed.
Hello everyone, this is Clive, VK6CSW, reminding you that tomorrow is the first Monday of the month, time for the Radio Amateurs Old Timers Club of Australia's November bulletin to go to air. As you may know, bulletin producer Andrew VK3CAH only has time to compose up-to-date bulletins every second month, the intervening months being reruns of old bulletins that hopefully are still of interest, especially to long-time RAOTC members. This month we offer an historical broadcast by Alan Doble, VK3AMD, from August 2002. The up-to-date news and information will be broadcast next month. Everyone, RAOTC members and non-members alike, is most welcome to listen to the program and to join in the callbacks afterwards. Full details of all transmissions, times, frequencies and modes can be found on the RAOTC website at www.raotc.org.au or just search for RAOTC broadcasts in your favourite browser. Please note that the start time for the 10-metre broadcast from Mike, VK6MA, is now earlier at 0 hours UTC. If none of the transmission times suit you, you can download the audio file at any time from today from the club website, but if you do listen this way, some brief free feedback would be appreciated. Now, some local broadcast details. Tomorrow, Chris, VK6JI, will transmit the bulletin on 80 metres on 3620 kHz, starting at 8 a.m. Please note that this start time of 8 a.m. is an hour earlier than it used to be. Also at 8 a.m. local time tomorrow, there's a transmission via digital mobile radio on the VKDMR Network Talk Group 5. At 10 a.m. local, the programme will be transmitted via the News West linked repeater system, simultaneously with a 40-metre transmission on 7088 kHz, again by Chris VK6JI. On Wednesday, November the 6th, we have a D-Star broadcast at about 4:30 p.m. WA local time. Please note that the time change has now occurred because Victoria is now on Eastern Daylight Saving Time. This will be transmitted via D-Star Reflector 91C, following the AR Newsline. On Sunday, November the 10th, repeats of the RAOTC bulletin follow the 6 a.m. 160-meter broadcast of the WIA News by Phil VK6GX and the 40-meter broadcast by Chris VK6JI. The 40-meter transmission will now start at approximately 8:30 a.m., shortly after the 80-meter transmission ends. The next lunchtime meeting for members and friends of the RAOTC in Perth is on Tuesday, November the 12th at the Woodbridge Hotel, 50 East Street, Guildford. We meet at 11:30 for midday lunch. An attractive, well-priced seniors menu is available, which can be viewed online. Everyone's welcome to come along and have an eyeball QSO. There's adequate car parking, but if you are coming by train, be sure to alight at Guildford East, repeat, Guildford East Station. Full details are on the club website under the heading Luncheons. Once again, tune in tomorrow for the November RAOTC broadcast, and we look forward to hearing your call sign in the callbacks. 73 from Clive, VK6CSW.
On Tuesday afternoons and evenings, the 40 and 80 metre bands come alive with the sound of slow CW. Who would have thought that this ancient art, which some say was once such a dreaded part of the amateur licence test, would become so popular in these days of modern communications? The uncontrolled net is run in designated portions of the two bands to encourage new CW operators to have a go at slow CW in a safe and really friendly environment. Slow speed and lots of mistakes are par for the course. It's all about having a go, starting with a basic call sign and RST exchange, then over time getting better and better. The net also attracts its fair share of old-timers who enjoy helping others to have a go or to just enjoy the banter. The CQQRS net started in Western Australia 3 years ago and has been running every single Tuesday and has been unbelievably popular. The net runs from 3 p.m. until about 7 p.m. on 40 metres, then moves to 80 metres, and we've had up to 60 stations on air having a go, and who knows how many listeners are out there every Tuesday as well. So, the CQQRS net is on 40 metres between 0700 Zulu and 1100 Zulu, that is 3 p.m. until 7 p.m., and is held between 7020 and 7040 kHz. Then between 0900 Zulu and 1300 Zulu, which is 5 p.m. until 9 p.m, we're on between 3540 and 3570 kHz every Tuesday. There's no net control, so when you're ready to have a go, just find a quiet spot and start calling CQQRS at about 75% of the speed you can copy. Most stations will match your speed, so go slow until you're really comfortable with CW. So this might be just the opportunity you've been waiting for to have a go at transmitting on CW, or perhaps just to stop the contacts rusting up on your key. Doesn't matter whether you're brand new to the code, or if you're an old-timer who would like to have a bit of fun and help encourage new operators by having simple, safe QSOs at their speed. We'd love to have you join in. Too much switch mode power supply hash on 80 metres? This might be the incentive to do something about it. With a cheap noise canceller costing less than $100, 80 metres could be easier than you think. So again, the net starts at 3 p.m. every Tuesday, above the DX segment on 40 metres between 7020 and 7040. Then, after 7 p.m, moves to 80 metres between 3540 and 3570 kHz. There are usually stations in the west, east and in between listening out for your CQQRS call. For more information and to receive our free weekly CQQRS RagTu newsletter, contact me, Mark, VK6QI, via the email on qrz.com, or you can use our address, cqqrsnet@gmail.com. That is cqqrsnet@gmail.com, and I'll be pleased to have a chat.
This is News West, your amateur radio news on VK6ARN, originating on the News West Linked Repeater Network and HF Relays.
Hi, just a little note about VK6RRG and the WAG Technical and General Net, having it run every Sunday morning on VK6RLM, that's 146.750, or Channel 3 in the old money. And it starts at 10:30 a.m. this morning. Of course, if you're listening in the evening, it's next week.
Coming soon to a download near you is QTC Magazine for November. It ought to be published next weekend. If you have any items that you'd like included, just send an email to info@vkradioamateurs.org and we'll have a look at including it for you. We'll also publish opinion pieces, as long as they don't get us into court with anybody and are compatible with the ethos of the Radio Amateur Society of Australia. All that blurb, you know how it goes. Also included in QTC will be some updates on the latest announcements from the ACMA concerning repeaters and the application process for repeaters, and that's very interesting and very important that you know how that works. In other news, unless you missed the announcement a couple of weeks ago, the Foundation Level Study Guide produced by RASA is available free for download, and we now have version 2 with some updates and some corrections, mainly to typos. And again, the Foundation Level Study Guide is completely free to download from the vkradioamateurs.org website. That's vkradioamateurs with an S on the end, .org. While you're there, have a look around at other resources provided by RASA, and they're all free.
Foundations of Amateur Radio. One of the oldest global aspects of our hobby, other than actually using the radio, is the QSL Bureau. It uses a postcard-like system to confirm that two stations made contact, sent via the postal service as a so-called QSL card. Of course, that only works if you have each other's address, which after World War II was somewhat difficult. As a result, the QSL Bureau was born. Intended as a single point of contact for a country, a local QSL bureau consists of one or more volunteers, paid staff or contractors, who act as the distribution point for incoming and outgoing QSL cards. If you and I agree to confirm our contact via the bureau, my QSL card to you would be sent to the VK outgoing QSL bureau, which would hold my card until there were sufficient outgoing cards from all over Australia to your country to package them all up and send them to the incoming QSL bureau in your country. Your QSL bureau would then wait until there were enough QSL cards for your region to send it on, where it would eventually get into your hands in a variety of ways, via the postal service, through your local club, or at a local hamfest where the QSL bureau might have a stall. Your QSL card to me would make a similar reverse journey. This process could take weeks or sometimes years. Although not fast, this worked for many decades. But once electronic communications and computers started appearing, combined with increased costs associated with privatised international postal services, the wheels started coming off. Getting access to historic documents has proven challenging. I can tell you that over the years, the IAIU, the International Amateur Radio Union, has coordinated and controlled how the QSL bureaus should work. For example, a resolution adopted in 1985 and updated in 2009, quote, strongly encouraged, end quote, its member societies to accept incoming QSL cards for all amateurs in their country, regardless of affiliation. It also instructed QSL bureaus to only send cards to the official QSL bureau if there was more than one. Several years ago, the IAIU Administrative Council recognised several trends, among them the environmental impact of unwanted cards generated in bulk by computer logging software, lower levels of adoption, and ultimately the closing of some smaller QSL bureaus after being overwhelmed by undeliverable cards from increasingly popular holiday de-expeditions. In September 2018, the IAIU adopted Resolution 18-1 that stated that it, quote, resolves that member societies are encouraged to continue to offer QSL bureau service in their countries, exchanging cards with bureaus of other member societies for as long as doing so is economically justifiable, and further resolves that amateurs are encouraged to adopt confirmation practices, including but not limited to using electronic confirmation systems, that reduce the volume of unwanted and undeliverable QSL cards being introduced into the bureau system, end quote. This resolution took effect on New Year's Day 2019. I'll also note that the IAIU has its own Year 2000 issue, having been in existence for nearly a century. Its resolutions are named after the last two digits of the year, followed by a sequential number. So Resolution 25-1 could refer to 1925 or 2025. But I digress. The internet has introduced several confirmation processes. The most vocal of these is Logbook of the World, or LOTW. I'm not a fan and haven't been for some time. I'll get into why in a moment. Other contenders are eqsl.cc, qsl.net, qrz.com, clublog.org, and others that have yet to steal the limelight. If I've forgotten the one you run, let me know. Saying that I'm not a fan of LOTW is understating it. Recent ARRL ransomware payments aside, why do I need to legally prove beyond a reasonable doubt that I made contact with some random amateur? Why does this need to be authenticated, signed with a time-limited certificate, and verified with 100 points of identity, and why do we continue to roll out new and interesting procedures for what is essentially a postcard, saying that on this day, time, and frequency, we made contact using this mode for the purposes of, wait for it, our hobby? The eQSL website has an interesting statement, quote, "One of the problems with an email-based system is that there is no security inherent in that mechanism. Anyone can purport to be Papa 5 Alpha Bravo Charlie, and you'll have a difficult time verifying it." End quote. So what? And what made you think that the postcard ending up in your letterbox was guaranteed to be from Papa 5 Alpha Bravo Charlie? If you're going to the effort of pretending to be Papa 5 Alpha Bravo Charlie, what harm does that do in the scheme of things? For that matter, how do you know that the station you talked to on air was actually Papa 5 Alpha Bravo Charlie? I ask because I've spoken to an amateur who recently did some HF direction finding during several popular de-expedition pileups. They discovered that there were several stations purporting to be the de-expedition that were not. So, right now, we're in a situation where many, if not all, amateurs are connected to the internet. Most will have an email address. You already know mine, cq@vk6flab.com. If we made contact on air, send me an email. If what you wrote matches my logs, I'll send you a reply to confirm it. How do you get the address? One possible approach is to create an online email database, where you could submit the email address associated with your call sign and you could look up a station to contact them. Another is for member societies to offer email addresses. The ARRL and the WIA already offer this service to current members. I'll also point out that one of the reasons that the QSL Bureau was instigated in the first place was because some addresses for amateurs were not available. If you make contact today and you want to send them an email confirmation, the question to ask is simple. Hey, what's your email address? Will that cover everyone? Nope. Neither does the current system. What it achieves is that my personal private identifying information isn't stored at the ARRL if I'm not a member. Besides, in my opinion, a list of email addresses combined with call signs is hardly something worth getting excited about. Unless, of course, it's used by manufacturers to send out product announcements and discount codes. We should be so lucky. If you have a better idea, you know how to get in touch. What I can say is that this is the ultimate decentralized QSL system, not unlike the contact you made on HF. I'm Ono, Victor Kilo 6, Foxtrot Lima Alpha Bravo.
This is News West, your amateur radio news on VK6ARN, originating on the News West Linked Repeater Network and HF Relays.
Good morning, fellow amateurs and shortwave listeners. This is Roy, VK6X-Ray Victor, with helpline disposals for the 3rd of November 2024. I still have a Fox Tango 2800 mic, 2-metre, 65-watt FM transceiver, $50 for that. There's also a Kenwood Tango Sierra 660, which is HF 6-metre transceiver, $250. Power supply homebrew, $30. A Mirage 2-metre, 35-watt amplifier, model Bravo 34G, $50. There's a Palomar 2-metre amplifier, model Tango X-Ray 225HD, $50. There's a Homebrew ATU, $50. There's a Fox Tango 290 Romeo Hotel 2-metre handheld, plus manual, $20. Morse key, $10. Low-pass filter, from 0 to 30 megs, $10. A couple of them available. And a mystery bag of useful bits and pieces. Contact Roy, VK6X-Ray Victor, that's me, 0427 000995, 0427 000995, or email vk6xrayvictor@bigpond.com. The Fox Tango 7700 receiver has gone to a new home at Duncan's VK6 Golf Hotel Zulu. Thank you very much for that, Wayne, and freebie relocated, and lucky Duncan. And that, my friends, is all I have for you for this week. I wish you all 7-3 until next time. The email address, victorkilo6xrayvictor@bigpond.com, for any inclusion next week. Thank you. 7-3 for me.
Hi there. It's Clinton, VK6FCRC, back with you. And did you know that News West is now on YouTube? Type in youtube.com/@NewsWestWeeklyPodcast-KiloZulu7YankeeCharlie. Oh, and before I go, I'd like to thank those watching on YouTube or ATV, the readers, and you for listening. I'd also like to thank our team, the broadcasters, and those submitting content each week. Please stand by now for callbacks after the broadcast, or head over to the VK6.net website and fill out the form so we know how many people are listening each week.